We present a special festive edition of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Christmas Clue. Tonight is Christmas Eve, a magical time when children and adults alike reflect upon the wonder of the Nativity. The story tells how a young couple travelled to pay their taxes. If anyone from Starbucks or Amazon is listening, you might want to skip this bit. The young couple arrive at their destination despite a light snowfall. If anyone from Southern Trains is listening, you might want to skip this bit. The man seeks accommodation for his partner, who is a young virgin. If anyone from Essex is listening... never mind. Well, you find us today at the University of London's Logan Hall in Bloomsbury. This area found fame in the 1920s with the Bloomsbury Set, the group of writers, intellectuals and artists that included Vita Sackville-West with her husband Harold Nicholson and Virginia Woolf and her husband Basil Brush. Another prominent member of the group was the writer Aldous Huxley. Originally from South London with literary success, Huxley was offered a peerage there, but he declined because he didn't want to be known as Aldous of Croydon. In the 1990s, the Logan Hall hosted the British Chess Championships. Our greatest grandmaster, Nigel Short, won the title in 1998. When he was awarded his MBE, Nigel went to Buckingham Palace, where he picked the Queen up and replaced her with a black one. The University of London includes the Central School of Speech and Drama. The actor Tony Robinson studied here. He's best remembered now as the grubby, inarticulate sidekick in Time Team. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the first broadcast of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. But anyone who thinks this show lives in the past is hereunto a lollygagger. Despite entering their fifth decade on the show, it's remarkable how the original team members have remained as fresh, keen and sharp as they've ever been. I'm just telling the nice people you're still sharp. They are on my left, Graham Garden and Barry Cryer. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Stephen Fry. Now, unfortunately, our usual scorer, Samantha, can't be with us today as she's opening in the West End. So please welcome in her place our occasional stand-in, the ever-rippling Sven. Okay, well, we start with a round of the Uxbridge English Dictionary. The meanings of words are constantly changing, team, so let's hear any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Graham, will you start, please?
Tinsel, Gretel's more flamboyant other brother.
Tim.
Goblet, a baby turkey.
Stephen.
Yule log, Mr. Brinner has left without flushing.
Barry.
Nutcrackers. Tight Y-fronts.
Brandy. Having a high sex drive and bow legs.
Vegetate. Art gallery for greengrocers.
Garden hose. Graham's lady friends.
Sprouts, the opposite of sprints.
Whittle. the conundrum that is Jonathan Ross.
Canopy, Scott's complaint.
Encounter, where they sell chicken in supermarkets. You've been there, yeah.
Prima Donna, Guy Ritchie's bachelor days.
Balloon, an inflatable Belgian.
Bunny, rather like a bun.
Turkey, a bit like a Turk.
Wassail, what Nelson said when he put the telescope to his blind eye.
Colonnade, a fizzy enema.
Good, well, the teams are going to sing for us now in the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. Where each team member sings the wrong words to musical backing. Now, piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Listeners may be interested to hear that when Paul McCartney heard Colin at the Abbey Road Studios, he asked him to play on Mull of Kintyre or anywhere else 700 miles away. So we'll start with you, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of Wannabe by the Spice Girls to the tune of Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want. What I really, really want. So tell me what you want. What you really, really want. I want a heart. I want a heart. I want a heart. I want a heart. I really, really want a zigzag.
It's got us all in the festive spirit. So you now, Stephen, and I'd like you to sing the words of Goodness Gracious Me to the tune of The First Noel.
Oh, doctor, I'm in trouble. Well, goodness gracious me. For every time a certain man is standing next to me, a flush comes to my face and my pulse begins to race. It goes boom, boody, boom, boody, boom, boody, boom. Boody, boom, boody, boom, boody, boom, boody, boom, boom, boody, boom. Well, goodness gracious me.
That was magical. It's your turn, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of Hanky Panky by Madonna to the tune of Good King Wenceslas.
Some girls, they like candy, and others, they like to grind. I'll settle for the back of your hand, somewhere on my behind. Treat me like I'm a bad girl, even when I'm being good. I don't want you to thank me, you can just spank me. I'll go quietly, officer. Some girls like to sweet talk, and others they like to tease. tie my hands behind my back, and ooh, I'm in ecstasy. Don't sober me with kisses, I can get that from my sisters. Before I get too cranky, you better just spank me.
Barry Cryer there, without whose musical talent we managed just fine. Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of When I'm Cleaning Windows to the tune of Away in a Manger.
Now I go cleaning windows to earn an honest bob. For a nosy parker, it's an interesting job. Now, it's a job that just suits me. A window cleaner you would be if you can see what I can see when I'm cleaning windows. Honeymooning couples too, you should see them, Bill and Coo. You'd be surprised at things they do when I'm cleaning windows. In my profession I'll work hard, but I'll never stop. I'll climb this blinking ladder till I get right to the top. Turned out nice again, hey!
I don't think any of us have ever paused to thank Colin, have we? OK, teams are going to do some acting now in the round called Sound Charades. This is their version of the old TV mime show, Give Us a Clue. When it was first suggested the teams try a radio version of the game, it was difficult to see how it could be half as good as the original, but they managed it. Our scorer, Sven, worked as a researcher on Give Us a Clue. He recalls how the perfectionist Christopher Biggins endlessly rehearsed his mime of the boxing movie Rocky, even inviting Sven into his dressing room to practice exchanging blows. Well, Tim and Stephen, you're to start, please. Not exchanging blows. And your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home... And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Jude the Obscure. Jude the Obscure.
So off you go, Tim and Stephen.
It's three words, and three. It's basically a book.
You must have seen him in something.
No, I haven't.
Talented Mr. Ripley, did you miss that? Mm. Cold Mountain? The Aviator? Contagion? Hugo? That Sherlock Holmes film when I took my clothes off? No, not that one. The even more highly rated Wild, award-winning, brilliant film? No? You've never seen this guy?
Well, I have, but not with my glasses on.
Oh.
Jude Law?
Yes.
Ah. Time's up. Time is up.
And you can't see him without your glasses because he's Jude the Obscure.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, your turn, Barry and Graham, and your title's now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Mad Max. Mad Max.
It's a film.
Film.
Two words.
Goes like this. Can I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like to buy a raincoat, please.
Certainly, sir. How about... we have a wide range, as you can see. How about this one?
Oh, that just looks crazy.
No. This one?
That's completely balmy.
Well, how about this one?
That's nuts.
Well, I'm afraid all our raincoats look like this, sir, hence the name of our shop.
Is it by any chance called Mad Max?
All right, well, let's try another round. Here's a further title going up on the laser display board for you, Tim and Stephen. Yep. And here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Racing from Newmarket. Racing from Newmarket.
It's three words. It's an event, but it's on television, and it goes like this. Ah, Mr. Singh, nice to meet you. Do you mind me asking, are you from India?
No, Suffolk, actually. I live in Newmarket, but please call me Ray.
OK, Ray.
Was that it?
Yes.
Grand National Tame Tree, wasn't it?
Racing from Newmarket.
Yeah. Ah, that's it. Yeah.
Right, well, a final title now being displayed for you, Barry and Graham, and here once more is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Towering Inferno. Towering Inferno.
It's a film.
Oh, it's a film.
Yep. Two words, yes.
Himish.
Ah, Dougal, you'll have had your tea.
Oh, I've no time for tea. I'm away to the fashion show.
Oh, I'll come with you. Will Big Jeannie be on the catwalk?
Big Jeannie, that she will. I can't wait to see her. 6'5" if she's an inch.
7'3" and a high heels.
Aye, she's a lofty lass. She takes after her mother and her father, standing on each other's shoulders.
And do you think she'll be wearing a mink coat?
No, she will not.
No?
No, she has very strong principles. She rejects the wearing of animal skins.
She'll be quite a show, then.
No, she will. She will be wearing clothes, Hamish, but responsibly sourced from vegetable materials such as sweet corn and aubergines.
Oh, I've seen her trying them on in the co-op.
Well, there you are. She may be 6'5".
7'3".
But catch her in a mink coat, never.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I have no idea.
Is there a film called Furless Giantess? Furless? No fur.
No fur.
Lovely to see Stephen stumped.
Fur off. No hide, no pelt, no fur.
No
fur.
No.
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 No is important. No,
yes.
It's not necessarily.
It's two words.
But not necessarily in that order.
Yeah. Ah.
We can't.
Furnose.
Doctor No?
Furnose.
That's part of it.
In. Oh, Towering Inferno! Towering Inferno!
Oh, my God!
Oh.
Well, you sick minded fiend.
Well, the next round is all about boasting. Graham was telling us he recently worked with the world-famous actress and UNICEF humanitarian Mia Farrow. Miss Farrow told Graham all about food aid, sub-Saharan drought, famine parcels, malaria, and all her other children. In this game, the teams will be guests at a Christmas party. One person will boast about something which each succeeding guest should try to outdo. We'll start with you, Tim. Can you start us off?
Well, I'm going to spend Christmas at home with all my family.
I'm going to spend Christmas with somebody else's family.
Sandringham, as usual for me.
Yes, and while you're at Sandringham, the royal family are moving out and coming to my place.
And then they're all joining me on my yacht, I believe.
Oh, well, we've offered them a full cruise on the small cruise liner that I've certainly recently taken over.
I'm going cruising too with One Direction.
Dream on, dream on.
I've got a liner as well. In fact, I've got several. But the royal family are coming with me on my liner, and we're going to fly to the moon.
Well, the moon is so yesterday, isn't it? So passé. But we're going to Mars, in actual fact. Not the moon anymore. Nobody goes there.
You're going to your mother's?
You never liked her, did you?
I thought I'd give all my friends an engraved iPad.
Yes. I'm giving an uncle of mine the engraved iPad that Nelson wore.
This next round concerns things that famous people never said this year. For example, when Eamon Holmes turned up at a family party, he didn't ask to be directed to the salad bar. Now, that is a little cruel. Eamon is very touchy about his size, and anyway, whatever he actually said was drowned out by the kids shouting, "Hooray, the bouncy castle's arrived!" OK, teams, I'd like you to suggest things that well-known people didn't say in 2012. Tim, you can start.
John Humphreys, we'd really like to hear what you have to say, Minister.
Stephen.
Jack D.
OK. Graham.
David Dickinson, I'd like to cancel my order of creosote.
Barry.
Jeremy Hunt, what do you mean, rhyming slang?
Barry Cryer, another pint? No, I couldn't possibly.
The Archbishop of Canterbury, I believe Thailand has a wide range of lady bishops.
Happy Christmas and praise the Lord, Richard Dawkins.
Brian Sewell.
Hello, Treacle.
Helena Bonham Carter. It's Oscar night tomorrow and I can't find a stylist to drag me through my usual hedge backwards.
David Cameron, tax avoidance is immoral. They taught me that at Eton College, registered charity number 1139986.
Lance Armstrong, I'm sorry, I have no idea where you may find a pharmacy around here.
Lance Armstrong again, I'd like to buy some stabilizers.
Well, that was money well spent. Mitt Romney.
Prince Andrew, shall I wrap it up or are you going to fire it now?
Well, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. We've received an email and it comes from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, "Dear Pick of the Week, I do wish you'd use your hanky. Yours, etc., Mrs. Trellis." And on with the game, which this week will be played to Bethlehem rules, so any moves that are Christmas-related will score double. Tim, you can start.
Angel Islington.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah. Oh. Three Kings Road.
Oh.
Ooh. Yes. Gold is green.
Oh, night, yes.
Silent Knightsbridge.
Oh, yes. You'd take that to get to Herod's.
You would.
Knightsbridge. Oxen Circus.
Yeah. Careful.
You can't have Oxen Circus because Angel was Tim's Tim's advent.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
Do the diagonal.
Bethlehem rules. That's...
Yeah.
Hay Market.
Very good. Oh,
yes. Yes.
Ooh. It's a very sad place. It's where Joe Orton was murdered, but it's Noel Road.
Oh.
In Islington.
Oh, that's got us all in the mood again, thank you.
Yeah.
Turnham Green.
That's got nothing to do with Christmas.
Oh, it would be a miracle, wouldn't it?
Merlibon. It's better than gold.
Gold Hawk Road.
We've had gold as green, so I can't have it. I'm sorry. Sorry, Barry.
It's a parallel. It's not a direct clash with it.
No, you're taking from gold as green when you're already on a diagonal anyway. So, you know.
Wow.
I mean, how well do you know Bethlehem rules? No. You know, I'm the one who has to study this, and yet you don't like it when I insist we do it properly.
Lincoln's Inn.
There you go.
Oh, awesome. Yes, that's good, yeah. No Bedford Square.
Oh. Follow Star Avenue.
To Mornington Crescent.
Oh, oh, of course!
There are several elements without which Christmas would never be complete. One is the Christmas card, and I have the first parts of some genuine Christmas card greetings which I'd like you to complete, right? So, Graham, the first message is for you. Evergreen boughs that fill our homes with fragrant Christmas scents.
Remind me of those little cakes you find inside the gents.
It's hearts filled with the loving glow that Christmas represents. Tim, here's one for you. The tempting gifts are tantalising. About opening them, I'll start that again. Don't send me a card because I won't read it properly. I've actually attached a shredder to my front door so they go straight into that. The tempting gifts are tantalising. About opening them, we are fantasising. The holiday foods are appetising. Our hearts and minds are harmonising.
Could I get more patronising?
If you want to know, it says, our excitement and joy are growing and rising. Jolly Christmas fun we're maximising. Stephen, here's a short one for you. The sight of loving relatives who come to us to stay.
Now, I have so many fewer. That's the advantage of being gay.
Just one of many blessings we enjoy on Christmas Day. Barry.
Yes.
Little Robin Redbreast sat upon a tree. Up went Pussycat and down went he. Down came Pussy and away Robin ran, says Little Robin Redbreast.
That was bloody close.
Catch me if you can.
Oh,
yeah. Graham, another one for you. I'm a little snowman, round and fat. Here are my mittens, here's my hat. Add a little scarf, add a carrot nose, and...
Can you guess where this parsnip goes?
No, it's not that at all. I'll stand tall when the cold wind blows. Here's some for any of you to have a go at. I'll throw them out. And this one is for someone spending Christmas in sunnier climes. Thinking of you at Christmas time, where there's no fear of snow. Instead, you'll spend your Christmas under the sun's warming glow. But don't feel bad for the rest of us, stuck with cold weather and ice.
We're not going to get malaria.
It's actually while you wallow in the warmth of your Christmas paradise. Christmas is coming and the goose is getting fat. Please put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny...
He takes plastic too.
It is, of course, then God bless you. The funniest face looked out at me from a silver ball on the Christmas tree. At first I thought it was Santa's elf, but...
Then I realised it was an intruder.
The original is, but I looked again and it was just myself. I think this is the last one. It's for a baby's first Christmas. Your very first Christmas with us is such a special one. We wish for you the best of days with parents and lots of fun. And from the time that you wake up till you go nighty-night...
All you do is wet yourself and burp and scream and shite.
Oh, dear. It's funny enough I got one of those last Christmas. It's time for this year's Christmas pantomime. And very much a British tradition. The word pantomime actually derives from the classical Greek words for bloody hell, isn't it over yet? By the way, Barry Cryer has asked us to mention that he's in panto again this year, playing the back end of the cow, so he has to spend hours in makeup having his face made less realistic. One aspect of the modern pantomime is that the cast is joined by a so-called celebrity, usually so barely remembered they have to have a special billing to remind us who they are. But we do things differently here. We have a real celebrity guest in Stephen Fry and a cast of three who can barely remember who they are. Now a star of stage, movies and literature, Stephen first came to notice doing an advert for Whitbread Best Bitter, but he's since advertised Vauxhall and Honda Cars, Heineken Lager, After Eight Mints and Marks and Spencer, so a firm favourite with overweight drunk drivers who want to take a cardigan back. The teams are going to improvise a version of the pantomime Jack and the Beanstalk. They've been provided with a box of sound effects to play in themselves. And the cast list is as follows. Graham, you're Jack. Tim, you'll be Jack's mother. Barry, you'll play the giant. And Stephen, you can be the beanstalk. And other parts will be played by members of the cast. No panto would be complete without audience participation, so I have some cue cards ready. Let's just test one before we start. Okay, audience, would you like to tell the teams where the best days of their careers are? Okay, so teams... Teams, off you go.
Once upon a time in Fairyland, or Brighton as it's now called, there was a cottage.
Oh, no, really?
A cottage that belonged to a handsome, plump woman, to Lisa, and her only son, Jack. Now, Mother Teresa spent most of her money... on the poor on a holiday in Calcutta. So they were utterly, utterly penniless.
Hey.
Oh, Jack, we're penniless.
Oh, Mother, I'm starving. Yes, and what are we going to do?
We're going to have to sell Daisy.
I'd rather sell the cow.
Oh, here she is now. Oh, Daisy.
Yes. That's a good idea. I'll take the cow to market and I'll sell it. And we'll have lots of money to buy milk and steak and leather goods and... and those horn ornaments that you've been longing to get.
So off to market he went.
Right, here I am at the market now. Who's going to buy my cow? Excuse me, do you want to buy a cow?
No, try him over there.
Oh, who's that?
He's called Mr. Bean.
Oh.
You'll soon find out why.
All right. Excuse me, sir.
Well, yes, what up to that?
Can you direct me to Mr. Bean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a matter of fact...
Oh, are you?
I'm Mr. Bean.
All right. Yes. Do you want to buy a cow?
Oh, yes, I'd love to buy a cow.
How much are you going to give me for it?
5 beans.
5 beans?
Oh. 5 magic beans.
5 magic beans?
Yeah.
All right, you are. Here, take the cow and good luck. I've got 5 magic beans and I think that's a really good deal, isn't it, boys and girls? Oh, yes, it is.
So Jack made his way back to the cottage with his 5 new beans.
Mother, I'm home.
Oh, well done, Jack. How much did you get?
5 magic beans.
Magic beans?
Magic beans, Mother.
Oh, you naughty boy.
Oh, wow. Oh. Oh, don't do that now. Leave me alone. Oh.
Perhaps that was a bit strong, but...
what have you done with me beans?
Oh, I've thrown them out of the window and I'd... Jack off, and then go... and then go to bed, come on.
So Jack discarded his upper clothing, jerking off on the bed, and night passed, but, boys and girls, mirabile dictu.
Oh.
The beanstalk began to grow and grow and grow. And the next day, first thing at the very crack of Jennifer... Talisa was woken by an urgent cock.
Oh, Jack, look, there's a huge beanstalk outside our back door.
I heard it. It was growing in the night. The piano woke me. What'll we do with it, Mother?
I want to climb it.
Climb the beanstalk? Climb it, why?
It would be a change.
What kind of change?
A climate change.
Right, off I go climbing that beanstalk as soon as I can find a pianist. Well, here I am, quarter of the way up. And that last bit didn't take long. Right, here we are, and good heavens, there's a castle. There's nobody in. I think I'll open this door. Oh, look. There's a goose driving a car. And laying golden eggs. Oh. How I wish my dear mother was here.
Here I am.
Look, Mother, all these golden eggs.
Oh, I'd like a goose. Oh, thank you very much.
Now.
Oh.
It's a giant. It's a giant. Where is he?
Hiss off.
Where is the giant?
Die.
If only I knew where the giant was.
That's good timing, isn't it?
Fee, fi, fo, prompt.
Thumb.
Oh, thank you. I smell the blood of an Englishman.
I'm all right, then. I'm Scottish.
Oh, fee, fi, fo, fottish.
I smell the blood of somebody Scottish. Five, four, fum, fee. I assume you've had your tea.
Quick, Mother, while he's congratulating himself. Escape down the beanstalk with the gold. Quick, down the beanstalk.
Oh, down we go.
Pianist.
And they swarmed down the beanstalk almost as long as it took the pianist to finish. The giant was in lumbering pursuit.
Oh, Jack, get your chopper out.
Right.
Not that one.
No. Right, I'll chop it down, Mother. Leave it to me.
OK. Well done. A little bit quicker.
All right.
Quicker than that.
That's done it.
Top of the world, Mark!
And the beanstalk crashed to the ground. The beanstalk was a has-been stalk. But this fable has a moral point. All great stories have points. And what do points mean? Thank you.
Okay, well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to take a look at the nativity. No Christmas would be complete without a special edition of the Radio Times. So, teams, your suggestions, please, of films, TV and radio programmes featured in a nativity edition of the Radio Times. Graham, will you start, please?
Maternity Makeover with Trini and Hosanna.
Barry?
Some mothers do have them.
Tim?
Manger Mouse.
Stephen?
I'm sorry, I haven't a room.
I'm a divinity, get me out of here.
Midsummer Myrrh.
Dilemma for Myrrh. Casper, the friendly king. Who do you think thou art?
There's something about Mary.
Wish you were Herod.
I'll make a start on the dishes. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Santa Claus of fate goes down the chimney of destiny with a new flat-screen TV and meets the burglar of time coming up with the old one, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Sven, myself and our audience here in London, it's Merry Christmas and goodbye. Goodbye!
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Stephen Fry were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.